On the air at News Radio 1070 WKOK and online at WKOK.com. This is WKOK Sunrise.
And thank you so much for joining us on WKOK Sunrise. Rob Sanders, our fabulous producer on the other side of the glass, taking great care of us, so we always appreciate his help and hard work at all times. On the news line with us now, Dr. Ruanne Seely's here. She's a Geisinger gastroenterologist, and they've been talking about at Geisinger, well, really around the world, the increase in cases of colorectal cancer. We're kind of going to focus on the U.S. today, but to the best of my knowledge, it's a global issue. So we're going to try to find out more about that. Dr. Ruanne Seely, thanks for calling in today. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
I really do appreciate it. Let's start out with the increase in the number of people under the age of 50 who are getting colorectal cancer. How sharp is this increase? How notable is it? How noticeable is that increase?
So this is a concern because, you know, our normal screening guidelines start at 45, and so we're missing a big population of people who are developing colon cancer, specifically in the millennial and Generation Z population, which is the age of 18 to 35. And this is actually sharply increasing over the past few years, and it's actually more than quadruple the amount of cases in the past few years, which is, you know, alarming.
All right. Well, the simple question pops up. How come? What's happening? What are we doing to make this happen?
We're not really sure, but it's theorized that this increase could be related to some unhealthy lifestyle habits. Obesity is on the rise, and so there's thought that eating processed foods or unhealthy foods, smoking, which includes vaping, alcohol consumption, lack of physical activity, leading a sedentary lifestyle, those are all theorized to be potential causes.
Could there be something else, maybe something in the environment? You know, we think of the thing that pops in my head, believe it or don't, is the bee collapse disorder, the bee colony collapse disorder, which is something in the environment. Could there be something in our environment that's leading to this?
Perhaps. We're just not really sure yet. Environment can definitely play a role in the formation of cancer in general. But then there are also genetic predispositions as well that we're discovering earlier, and so those could be a contribution too.
Oh, the genetics could be a factor. Okay. Well, and for have we done just enough study to know if we do have young people under the age of 50 who are not obese, are fit, and eat well, do we still get that same increase in the colorectal cases there?
Yeah, so people are still getting colon cancer regardless of those risk factors. And so, like I said, genetic composition can play a role, as well as potential environment. So even if people don't have those specific risk factors that I just mentioned, it's still important to really pay attention to your own body and your own symptoms to determine if this needs to be evaluated better.
I think I speculated at the open of our interview that it was a global issue. I suppose I should find out if I was right. Is it a global issue, or is it just the U.S. where these numbers are increasing?
It is a global issue, but you know, the good thing about the United States is that we have the resources and we have the available testing and screening procedures to be able to make this diagnosis. Some countries are not as fortunate in the resources that they have.
You mentioned that you're trying to find the solutions for that, not you in particular, although you too. What is happening to try to find the cause of this increase?
Well, I think with, you know, research continuing to look at the population and evaluate what age groups are actually developing cancer and kind of looking at their overall makeup and risk factors, I think in the future we'll be able to have a better idea.
What do you want millennials and these Gen Z folks to do? These are folks from, upper teens to 40-ish or so in that range.
Right, so it's really important to pay attention to symptoms. So things that we worry about, red flags is what we call them for colon cancer, are bleeding, blood in the stool, rectal bleeding, and this is persistent, changes in your bowel habits, a change in the size or shape of the stool. Some people will describe pencil thin stools, which is kind of alarming. And those can be signs of colon cancer. Other signs could be weakness, fatigue, anemia, unintentional weight loss. And those can sometimes be a hint that something is more advanced. So it's very important to pay attention to your symptoms.
Okay, so these could be signs of a wide range of issues. Of course, blood in the stool, weakness, fatigue, anemia. What was the very last one that you mentioned?
Unintentional weight loss.
There you go. Okay, weight loss. Okay, so these could be definitely something to watch out for anyway. Do you find that perhaps young people do not pay attention to any of these symptoms or maybe just don't realize they're happening?
Sure. Anemia and bleeding sometimes is very common in younger females of this generation. And so sometimes these can be put off as something related to their menstrual cycle. But it's always important to make sure we follow up and make sure that it's nothing else coming from the GI tract.
And I'm over 50, so I've had several colonoscopies. Are we going to get rid of that age 50 criteria for colonoscopies? Could this be a routine, a monitoring or surveillance procedure for everybody over 20?
Well, in 2018, actually, our GI societies, along with our cancer societies and task forces, came together to agree that 45 was the new age to start colon cancer screening. So we are aware that the incidence of colon cancer in young people is becoming younger and younger, and so 45 was the most recent change. That age is the time to start. However, if someone has a history of other GI problems that may predispose them to cancer or a family history of colon cancer, then they should get screened earlier.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about that. What, in addition to watching out for these symptoms that you outlined, and I think we should list those symptoms again to look for just a little bit later on, but is a family history something to look forward, or maybe just have a conversation with your personal care physician and he or she will know what to ask and talk about?
Absolutely. First degree family history of colon cancer does increase the risk, as well as even having more than two second degree relatives of colon cancer would increase the risk as well.
Okay, so those would be two of the factors. Make sure that you're familiar with those. You are a local doctor, so is our area in any way either immune or harder hit by this particular trend? More individuals under the age of 50 with colorectal cancer?
Well, like I said, the screening age starts at 45, but we are scoping more and more younger patients, and unfortunately, we have discovered colon cancer in some of the younger population where, I think the awareness is out there, and I think the generations of the millennials and the Generation Zs, they're very proactive, and so they are more aware of their bodies, and they are seeking evaluation when they're worried.
All right, and
which is good.
Oh, please, go ahead and finish that sentence.
Oh, no, I just said that this was good, that they were more proactive.
All right. Well, we have just a few moments left, believe it or don't. Let's reiterate those symptoms to watch out for and what we should do, what every adult should do, every parent should do. Sort of give us your sound doctoral advice, please.
Sure. So the symptoms to look out for are persistent blood in the stool, changes in your bowel habits, changes in the size and the shape of your stool, as well as unintentional weight loss, anemia, and fatigue that's persistent.
Okay.
The best way to look for this is through a colonoscopy, which is a very safe procedure. And, some people have a fear of the colonoscopy itself, and sometimes that is what deters people from getting the procedure. But it's very safe and well-tolerated by patients, and it can save your life.
All right. Well, and where can I get more information? I always think of geisinger.edu as a great place to start for some things. Is that or any other site or place of information a good place to start?
Yep, Geisinger is a great place to start. We have lots of gastroenterology doctors and providers who are here to help you.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your help and your information. We thank Randy Hines, one of the outreach specialists at Geisinger, who really made sure that this was brought up and talked about. And, of course, Dr. Seeley, great information. So we really appreciate it. And do stay in touch as time goes on. More doctor conferences that you guys go to happen. You'll probably learn more and know more, and more will be talked about. And we should be able to stay on top of this. Thank you so much, Dr. Seeley.
Thank you.
Very much appreciated. Dr. Ruanne Seeley is a Geisinger gastroenterologist, board-certified and fellowship-trained gastroenterologist from Geisinger, earned her medical degree from the Philadelphia College of Osteopathic Medicine and completed her residency at Rowan University in New Jersey. And, of course, if you missed any part of this or wish to transfer or share this interview with someone else, shortly this will be posted on the WKOK podcast page.